You know, Wednesday mornings are doggy dog world, and because that is the case, and he has really upped his game, his wardrobe, courtesy of Mrs. Mad Dog, the Queen, I just felt compelled to put on an outfit that will remind him there are levels to this that even he can't reach. But lo and behold, Molly got to get herself all up in the mix, okay? She said, you think you looking good with that? Let me show America who the best looking person on this damn show is, Stephen A. And it ain't gonna be you. You see what I gotta deal with, America? You see what I gotta deal with? Don't interrupt me when I'm talking like that, Molly. You see how she is right now? The matriarch of the show. You see how she is? First takes in the house, doggy. Holla at you, boy.
Good day. What's going on, everyone? Welcome into First Take. Thank you for being with us. It's Wednesday, so you know I am a happy lady because Christopher Mad Dog Russo is in the building. I love it. I love the spring colors.
Nice,
the
nice,
sunshine
right?
is out.
And who said I do first between the two of you, by the
oh
way?
My
who
gosh.
Said I do first?
Who said I don't?
Did you say I do first, Stevie? Who said
this it? Is very nice, Stephen A. It looks really nice.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, it does. It really, really does. You look nice yourself.
Thank you.
As always, you know. I just had to step on out. No, there's nothing going on. You understand? I'm saying America been lying about that for a couple of years.
Oh, they do.
It's years.
You know what the funniest part?
For years, they've been lying on it.
People actually believe it.
Oh, they sure do. I get asked all the time.
It's ridiculous.
How's the famous couple doing?
Well, here's the difference. But here's the upside to all of that. They know my taste. So therefore, they know that's a compliment to her. And obviously, she has great taste as well. So I guess that's America's way of saying we both really, really look good. That's why you could do that. Because, they lie all the time. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. But it does mean their First Take not only is a number one show because of our content. We look the part.
I'm just going to let everyone at home know, full disclosure, I cannot hear anything.
Yes.
So you guys get to control the traffic.
Really?
All right? You guys get to tell me when we're moving on. You guys can take turns and do
that.
So
I get to tell you what to do for change.
You let me know when we're going to break.
I get to
you let me know.
I like that. I like that.
So I'm flying blindly right now.
Okay,
we got Mel Kiper Jr. joining us, Lewis Riddick for some draft debate. We'll also dive into the latest with Woj's report on Giannis avoiding a serious Achilles injury. But we start in the West.
All right, let's do it.
The Warriors beat the Lakers 134-120 in a crucial game that has major play-in implications. Golden State had 26 three-pointers as Dre, Klay, and Steph hit at least five each. The first time the trio has done that ever. Curry, how you feeling about your squad?
The team that we're showing we are right now, we obviously have a lot of work to do. But it's nice to have good vibes rolling into this part of the year, try to finish the year strong. We have a pulse, and that's all we need. It's just a matter for us just win these next three and see where we end up. But it's a big difference to have two cracks at it, for sure.
All right, with less than a week to go in the regular season, the Warriors are tied with the Lakers in the loss column and now on the potential tiebreaker by virtue of winning three of their four head-to-head matchups this season. The Warriors have three games left. The Lakers have two. All right, Asset, you're up first. Do you think the West should be worried about Golden State, that they could go on a sneaky run?
I've said that yesterday as we showed in the cold open, and obviously I say that today. We understand they're not the best. You're vying for a play-in, okay? Well, let's take this into consideration and just break it down, doggy. Number one, you're in a position right now where you've beaten the Lakers three or four times this year. You're only a half game behind them. So you're in a position to get home court advantage for the 9-10 play-in in the event that you run the table and win the rest of your regular season games. The Lakers got two games to go. You got three games to go. You'd be in a tie if you ran the table and they won as well. And obviously it'd be a situation where the tiebreaker would go to you because you've beaten them three or four times. So that game would be in Golden State, even though Golden State has been better, ironically, on the road this year after being horrific on the road last year. They're better on the road this year than they were at home this year. We get that. But they're also a game back of the eighth slot. And because you're in the eighth slot, that's what Steph Curry was talking about, two shots at the apple. You're seventh or eighth seed. You know what? You win, you're the seventh seed. You lose, you still play the winner of the 9-10 seed. So you get two cracks at being in the playoffs. You also get an opportunity to decide, or be in a position, rather, where you could go against a one or two seed where one opponent might be better for you than the other and one opponent might be worse. I'm looking at Golden State, and as I articulated yesterday with Legs and Shannon, is when I said this. We know what Steph Curry's going to bring to the table. But what if Klay Thompson got hot? What if Kuminga, Pajimski, Wiggins were hitting perimeter shots? You have to remember, in the game of basketball, when you are elite from the perimeter, you force teams to capitulate to your style of play to some degree, as opposed to being who they are. Like, for example, if you're Minnesota, you can't stay big with Rudy Gobert on the court if Golden State is hitting jump shots all over the place. Denver's Denver, and Jokic is going to be Jokic, and we get that part. But anybody else that you're going up against, when you think about a team as elite at shooting the basketball on occasion, as the Warriors have shown and proven over the years they can be, you're talking about perimeter shooting, you're talking about open court opportunities, you're also talking about accuracy at the free throw line. You know this from all of your years of doing great radio and covering sports. The game slows down in postseason time. And as a result, all of a sudden, you're going to slow down. You're going to find yourself getting to the free throw line more. And if in the event that you can't slow them down and they're getting open court opportunities or perimeter shot opportunities, I think that puts the Golden State Warriors in a position to be incredibly scary. They're a 10th seed, a 9th seed, or 8th seed. They're playing with relative house money because the expectations for them are minimal compared to some of those other teams that have been starving for an opportunity to elevate themselves within the pantheon of the Western Conference. And you're saying, okay, you get them on their heels. Let's see how they respond then, particularly if it's a young team like Minnesota or Oklahoma City. And that's what I'm looking at when I look at the Golden State Warriors. This is why I believe they could still be a threat, because I can't rule out last night what I saw. Draymond ain't going to shoot 5 for 5 from three-point range every day. We get that. But Klay Thompson, what you saw from him, 27 points, 10 of 16 shooting, 5 of 10 from 3, that's something he can do. Steph Curry hit all 6 of his 3s. That's something that he could do. Andrew Wiggins, 7 of 12 from the field, 3 of 5 from three-point range. That's something he could do. Kuminga, and what we see from him, it wasn't a great game last night. But I'm looking at them, doggy, and I'm saying Golden State is somebody to be worried about. Do not dismiss them.
Don't disagree with you whatsoever. Now, I will say this. Mm-hmm. If they want Minnesota to win tonight, because Minnesota's at Denver, the winner of that game is going to be the one seed.
Okay.
And if Denver wins, they're going to be the one seed. And if Phoenix ends up as the 8, they're going to get Denver in the first round.
Phoenix.
If the Warriors end up at 8, they're going to get them in the first round. You
don't want that.
You get Minnesota, you get Oklahoma City, you can live with it.
That's right.
You do not want Denver in that first round.
That's right.
So they would prefer.
None of them do, by the way. Nobody wants Denver in the first round.
But you're talking about Golden State making a long run.
Right.
You're not talking about Phoenix making a long run.
Right.
So if you want the Warriors to get hot, they have a puncher's chance.
Yes.
I saw him Sunday night against Utah. They made 1,000,000 threes. He had 30 points, Thompson, in 23 minutes, and Curry didn't even play. And as you said last night, they made 23. Now, Anthony Davis didn't play.
Right.
So you got to keep that in mind. But if they do end up the 8 and Minnesota beats Denver tonight, could Golden State beat Minnesota in the first round playoff series? Yes. They could beat them.
Yes.
But the problem is, if Denver wins tonight and Phoenix and the Warriors are stuck in that 8-9, that 9-10 thing, at the best they're going to do is 8.
Right.
And that means they're going to have to play Denver.
That's right.
So they need the Timberwolves, for your proclamation to come to fruition.
Right.
You need Denver out of that one seed, is what I'm trying to say.
I got it.
You agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with that. But they're only a game out of number 8.
Correct.
Which means that if they get that 8th seed,
they can get the 7th seed. Right.
And then not have Denver.
Well, unless Denver loses tonight.
Right.
But chances are Denver will win tonight.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. And right now, Phoenix is playing horrifically. They're down 35-4 last night at home.
We'll get into that later.
I don't want to steal it because we are going to mention that later, but that drives me crazy. Sacramento has not played that well.
Not at all.
They blew a 21-point lead last night in Oklahoma City. So I would say right now the most likely scenario is the Warriors and Lakers will end up at the 7 and the 8 spot.
Okay.
Both.
Well, I mean, because if Golden State jumps to the 7 and beats the 8, or jumps the 8 and beats the 7, and then the Lakers, and they win, they're automatically in the playoffs.
Right.
And then the Lakers would play Sacramento or Phoenix and play the winner.
So you're anticipating, just so we could crystallize this for the audience, you're anticipating that Phoenix, who has a 2-game lead, will ultimately fold.
Well, Phoenix has a very hard schedule.
Okay.
Clippers, Kings, and T-Wolves all on the road.
Wow. So Phoenix could end up being a 9th or 10th seed.
They could.
You're saying Golden State moves up,
and the
Lakers remain in a 9 or 10th slot, and ultimately end up the 8th seed.
You're cooking with some gas. Yes, okay. Now you're starting to get an idea. That's exactly what I'm thinking about.
All right.
So, okay. And I think that's possible. Plus, the Kings have played badly. Sammy, can you look it up for me, please? Golden State, Sacramento, who won the season series? Because that's important if they finish tied.
Well, the interesting part about it as well is this. That's what the NBA would love. If you got an opportunity to have Steph and LeBron in the playoffs.
Oh, that's
remember,
what they want.
Remember, we were anticipating that both of them could be out before the playoffs begin.
Absolutely.
Now we're talking about a scenario where they could both be in.
Absolutely.
Which would be good for the league.
And I think they can get both in. Right. I really do. Look, yes. Sacramento, Steve, give me the standings again, please.
Yes.
Put the standings up.
Geez, so bossy.
I mean, geez, put the standings up. Will you? Come on, Sam.
It's coming.
There we go. So the Kings are, if the Kings who have, the Kings play the Pelicans, the Kings play the Suns, that's a hard schedule. Mm-hmm. And Phoenix, I just gave it to you. And if the Warriors win their three games, Portland they beat, Utah at home, their third game is against who?
New Orleans, I believe.
I think it's New Orleans. That's a hard game.
That's right.
Depends
on what the Pelicans want to do, though. You see what I'm saying? Like, it might not be a priority for them.
Exactly. But they want to avoid the play-in.
Gotcha.
Warriors and Kings are 2-2.
Okay.
I don't even know. What is the second tiebreaker?
We'll find it out.
That's important. Let's go. What are we doing here?
Excuse me. You got to wait. You know what I mean? It takes a second.
This should be on. We should have this.
It takes a second. Excuse me. What did I tell you about calling out your colleagues? You do that on Mad Dog Radio every day. You call out your damn co-host. Host people that are uplifting your channel. You talk about them. Stop it.
Couldn't you have done the research? Couldn't you have looked it up before you came on air?
I don't know what the second one is. I don't know what the second tiebreaker is. You're the NBA channel. Let's go here.
We're ESPN, we're the worldwide leader. We're not the NBA channel. That would be.
But you cover the NBA.
Basketball, football, UFC. We got a whole bunch of stuff on our mind. We'll get to it.
Tennis.
You understand? Stop doing that to your colleagues. You do that to Mad Dog Radio hosts all the time.
You better not be like that.
You're such a bully.
Bossy genie at home.
Here's the bottom line.
I got to move on.
Stevie, let me talk.
Oh, my God.
Here's the bottom line. He hit it for a change. You got one right. You might get a Golden State as a 7 and a Lakers as an 8 in the postseason.
And maybe they're going to hit 26 threes again. You should tell Fat Rob. Put some money on it.
I did something fun on Sunday. I'll get to that later.
Okay. I'm sorry. They play Portland, Golden State. They play Portland next. And then after that, they play New Orleans Friday.
And then they play Utah at home.
Division record.
Well, New Orleans and Utah are both at home.
Right, and that's Portland's on the road.
Division leader, division record.
So I'm not sure what the divisional record is between the Kings and the Warriors.
Okay. We'll find
Guess
out.
What? We're going to get that for
Please,
you.
That's important. This should have been done a long time ago.
Would you like some tea and crumpets? You want some coffee, a bagel?
I got my coffee. I got my little oatmeal. Have a little bit
of that. You're a little cranky right now. Maybe you're hangry. Switching over to the East Coast, the Bucks got a scare last night in their dominant win over the East leading Celtics when Giannis went down in a non-contact injury, which was ruled a left calf strain. Woj reported early this morning that after an MRI, his left Achilles tendon is fully intact, and his return to play will come with how quickly his left calf strain heals. All right, Stephen A., do you think the Bucks should be concerned about this?
Absolutely, without question. First of all, they were checking to make sure there was nothing wrong with the Achilles. And so the fact that the Achilles has come back straight, that's a good thing. But for him to go down the way that he went, this is Giannis we're talking about here. This is a locomotive coming at you and has been doing so for years. We've never seen him do that. And so as a result, it kind of scares you. And then let's remember, albeit it might have been a bit higher, wasn't in the same location as Kevin Durant. Remember before the Achilles actually tore
he had a calf
during the NBA Finals against Toronto when he was a member of the Golden State Warriors, it was actually the calf injury that, you know, that first derailed him. And so it's an indication that potentially something else could be going wrong. That is Giannis Antetokounmpo we're looking at right there. That is not a man that goes down like that. That is not a man that, and then he goes down. Not only does he sit down on his own non-contact, but then when the team rallies around him, he lays back down like, oh my God, because he was concerned. This man works out religiously. takes care of his body. When I ran into him, I spoke to him when they were in Minnesota, when we had the ESPN that night in Minnesota, All Access that day. Giannis and I were together that night. He was like, look, man, I'm in the gym all the time. I woke up the next morning. I'm getting ready to go eat some breakfast. This brother had just finished 2 hours in the gym. And he talked about LeBron. And he talked about Kobe. And he talked about others and how religiously they went about the business of taking care of their body and how his number one obligation was to pay attention to his health to make sure he's in peak condition. He does not mess around. And so for him to go down like that, non-contact, for them to be examining to make sure there's no Achilles injury going on, tells you the significance of what he was feeling, how concerned he was, and damn it, if he's concerned, you should be concerned. So I would tell you right now, there's cause for concern with the Milwaukee Bucks. Again, you know, the playoffs are coming up. That's obviously what this is all about. If he says he can go, you play him. But you got to have a raised eyebrow. You need to be incredibly concerned because it's Giannis. He doesn't do stuff like that. That stuff doesn't happen very often. It doesn't happen with him. I'm very concerned about it.
I think you have to be. Plus, you got Durant against Toronto when he tore his Achilles, and that because he had the history of the calf thing.
That's right.
So that makes
weeks earlier,
too.
And he was out for weeks when he came back.
And then nobody made that connection.
That's
and
right.
We all know what happened. All right, here's the positive. Let's assume it isn't the Achilles. They have 10 days off. Mm-hmm. They're not gonna. He's not gonna play in. He's not going to have to worry about playing a game until next weekend.
Okay.
Because next week is the playing games, right? There's no best of sevens.
That's right.
Season ends Sunday. They don't seem to care.
Season ends Sunday. Playing begins Tuesday. Ends Friday. Playoffs begin Saturday
and Sunday. And the Bucks certainly don't seem to care based on their play of where they end up with the seats.
Right.
I mean, they lost to Toronto, Washington. They lost to all these teams.
Once they don't care, they just haven't been playing well.
Well, I mean, all right. But, Steve, right. I mean, they lost to Memphis. I mean, they really have hit rock bottom. They won last night, I understand. So my point is, he does have 10 or 11 days. Now, if you're going to tell me that this is just a calf, 11 days. Now, last year he was hurt against the Heat and they lost. But 11 days, I'm not a doctor. Isn't that enough time to get himself organized to play in that first playoff game next weekend?
Kevin Durant was out for weeks before he came back.
I know he was.
And when he came back, the very first game he came back.
Second quarter.
The Achilles tour.
Yeah.
And he was putting on the show. He was like, let me tell you something right now.
He was playing great.
If Kevin Durant hadn't gotten hurt, they'd have swept Toronto.
Oh, absolutely.
They'd have took them out in four straight with Kawhi Leonard, okay? But Kevin Durant comes out there, and you remember he's dancing around, shuffling his feet, pregame with the Golden State Warrior teammates at the time, comes out on the court playing lights out because he's one of the greatest players we've ever seen in NBA history. And then, lo and behold, he makes a move, and it happens. It happens. So, to me, you saying 10 days means nothing to me. It means nothing to me. It's just a matter of, is it worth the risk? The playoffs are worth the risk of you going out there. This is what you play for. The playoffs are worth the risk to put Antetokounmpo out there, the Greek freak. If he says he's ready to go, and the medical staff says he's ready to go, and we've done all we can do, and he seems okay, then, of course, you take your chances. You don't take the chance if there's any kind of trepidation physically, like it doesn't seem right. You don't take that chance.
Doesn't seem like they feel it is, though, because they said the Achilles were fine when they did this MRI.
Well, they said the Achilles was fine.
So but from that standpoint, you got to play him.
Yeah, I get you. But remember, with KD, they said the Achilles was fine.
Well, if that's the case, then we'll see Giannis next year. I mean, sometimes you got to take it. You got to. If the doctor says there's nothing wrong with the Achilles,
right.
And he wants to play, you got to play him.
I totally agree with you. If the doctor says there's nothing wrong with the Achilles, if Giannis is saying he's feeling fine,
you
got to play him.
Play to win the game.
You got to play him. But it's a scary proposition. No doubt about
playoffs.
No doubt about it. It's a scary situation.
Very scary. And, you know, on the Bucks. They're a mess. We'll get to them later, too. They're a mess, the Bucks, a mess.
By the way,
Sacramento has the tiebreaker over Golden State. So they're a game and a half ahead, Steve.
Still stuck
not
in that.
Not one. We just checked it. I had the staff.
Thank you.
If you don't mind.
Who's a game and a half ahead?
Sacramento's got the tiebreaker over the Warriors. So it's a game
team,
and a half.
But yeah, you can.
So that makes it a little tricky.
By the way, Giannis, 31.2 points per game, second, fourth in the NBA. Leads the NBA in fast break points. Points in the paints per game. Leads the NBA.
I guess he did his homework.
20.9 points. on pace to become the first player in NBA history to average 30 points per game on 60% shooting from the field. Bucks were up by as many as 43 and was up 75-38 at halftime on the Celtics last night. I forgot to mention that halftime. So I don't know what the Celtics.
Your point is you're the one playing in the second half?
They did. Why? Why?
You're feisty today.
Why do I know, Steve, he's an athlete. What, are you supposed to not play him?
I mean, I'm saying you got that kind of cushion. I'm just saying. But then again, I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying that he was pretty well ahead. The game was over. Celtics clearly didn't show up last night. Clearly.
Well, they also didn't play somebody, too. Who didn't? Oh, Porzingis didn't play. Is that correct?
No,
somebody didn't play. We'll check with research.
That's not new.
All right, let's
check.
Go.
That's not new.
You're ridiculous. Okay, Stanford's women's basketball head coach Tara Vanderveer announced yesterday she's retiring from coaching. Stanford announced that negotiations are underway for Kate Pay, a former player under Vanderveer and a longtime member of her staff, to become her successor, and that Vanderveer will continue to work with Stanford and the athletic department in an advisory capacity. After 42 years of coaching, she's calling it a career, retiring as the winningest head coach in the history of college basketball. She guided Stanford to 3 national championships, 14 Final Fours, 36 consecutive tournament appearances. She also won an Olympic gold medal coaching the 1996 U.S. Women's National Team in Atlanta. Quite the resume, quite the legacy. Stephen A., your thoughts on the career of Tarvin?
Well, I often wonder why producers ask me these questions after you give that kind of lead in, because you gave all the answers. I mean, what didn't you say? 14 Final Fours. I'm just saying, 14 Final Fours, 3 national titles.
Gosh.
You know what I'm saying? 36 consecutive NCAA tournament appearances. You said all of this, so I'm just regurgitating information that you gave. You left it. You didn't leave anything for me to say.
Excuse me. James Dunn will confirm. I'm not even supposed to be here today, so you both better be a little nicer to me.
Why? Because you showed up to work?
Keep going.
I mean, that's what we're supposed to do, right? That's what we tell the players. To show up to work, right? Okay, thank you. Appreciate you being here. The point is that you said it all. We will add this. 1,216 career victories, 82% of her games she won across 45 seasons, 38 at Stanford. When you think about the top 5 coaches in the history of NCAA women's basketball, we know about Gina Auriemma, Pat Summitt. She's right in that conversation, obviously, right up there, probably top 3 or 4. Kim Mulkey, we can't dismiss, and certainly we have to add Dawn Staley to that equation now. But Tara Vanderveer has been an exceptional coach. She's been a treasure and a tribute to the game. All-time NCAA's winningest coach in women's and men's basketball. She is who she is. All the best to her.
Absolutely.
42
years. And leaving
years.
The women's game in an
45.
Exceptional place.
45.
Absolutely.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Welcome back back into First Take. Louis Riddick joining the party. I like that jacket. That's fresh.
It's a little something that's going on between Pittsburgh, University of Pittsburgh, Mitchell and Ness, and myself.
Love it. I love Mitchell and Ness.
Mitchell and Ness is legit. They approached me about a year ago.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh did, and asked me if I'd be interested in developing a line of clothing wear, sporting wear, co-branded with Pittsburgh. Mitchell and Ness would produce it. They got me in a room, started looking at all kinds of different things, and it's going on sale this Saturday at the Pitt spring game and then online Sunday. It's the official Louis Riddick line.
I'm going to buy something.
Yeah. You know what? I know you are.
Just because of you.
Because you know what? I'm not giving you a QR code either for no discount.
Hold up.
What you're wearing right now, you got plenty of money to afford it. You know what I mean?
It is spectacular, if I should say so myself. But let me say this to you. I am not Dan Orlovsky, the cheapest man on the planet.
I've heard you get on him, man, and
cut deals and get discounts and stuff like that. This man got discount for his wife flying.
Oh, coach, across the country.
He's pathetic. I would never do that.
The jacket's dope.
Well, thank
Mitchell
you,
and Ness, great to
They're incredible.
Yeah, first
they're
class. Incredible. I love it.
Mitchell
Can't
and Ness. Let's say it one more time. Mitchell and Ness.
Yeah, they're legit.
I appreciate that. No doubt. I'm going to get an outfit. No,
you keep on saying Mitchell and Ness, you certainly are going to get an outfit for crying out loud.
I'm going to pay for it.
Oh, my God.
I'm not looking for
free
beats.
I don't know what he did last night. All right. We're almost 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. So, you know, Mel Kiper Jr. is locked in as his latest mock draft this morning. He's got four quarterbacks going in the top five. Mm. And with the last two Heisman winners, Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels going first and second, respectively, to the Bears and the Commanders, followed by Drake May to the Pats. Lewis has seen a lot of these guys up close and personal. Mm-hmm. Marvin Harrison Jr. to Arizona. National champion J.J. McCarthy to the Vikings. Where's my guy? OG, we go way back, further than the rest of these folks, right, Mel Kiper Jr.? Great to see you. How we doing?
We're good, Molly. You're looking sharp. They're just trying to catch you, Molly, with all these outfits they have on. They'll never catch you, though. They can try, but they'll never get you.
I must say, Mel, you've been around forever. You look good. You look good, Mel. You know, I got to give it to you. The suit, the Tommy, you do look sharp, my brother.
And the hair.
You belong. Absolutely.
Mel's timeless.
I don't know about that, Stephen. I know Dog's going to have a problem with me. I know Dog right time. God, this time you're worrying more about a Triple-A prospect with the Minnesota Twins than he is these guys in the NFL.
I watch High Heat, Dog.
Do a great job, great show, but I know you know nothing about this draft.
Let's go.
You're his go.
Hey, you're
Let's
Mad
go.
Dog's next target. I can see it now.
What I'm mad about, baby.
That's right. Mel, you're on the list.
That's right. Let's go.
All right, Mel. So looking at your mock with the top four quarterbacks going in the top five, you've got J.J. McCarthy going five via trade to Minnesota. Why do you think the Vikings may do that?
First of all, the division you're in, Jordan Love, an emerging star. Caleb Williams is going to be a star. Jared Goff just wins games, and you're in the NFC, and you get a quarterback like this, and you hit with J.J. McCarthy. Then you got something. You got a talent around him with Addison you drafted last year. You got the great Jefferson. You got an outstanding running game with Jones, and you got Chandler. You got Hawkinson. You got the two bookend tackles, O'Neal and Darisaw, and now you bring J.J., 21 years of age, young, right? Hasn't carried a team. Needs to sit for a little bit. You got Sam Darnold as the bridge quarterback. He's played at Michigan. He's played in Ann Arbor. He's played at the Shoe. He can play at Green Bay. He can play in Chicago, and he'll be in a dome in Minnesota. So J.J. in the division makes sense. Having Darnold there makes sense. The supporting cast there makes sense. Once he's ready, they'll get help. So I think it screams trade. Once they got that 23rd pick, now they have the ability to move up to five.
Doggy, do you think he's worth a top
five? No, I do not. Mel, with all due respect, you guys with this love affair with J.J. McCarthy, did we watch the games? Go take a peek. I mean, Maryland, he was awful. Didn't throw the ball in the second half against Penn State. He was not that great against Alabama, and they ran the ball great against Washington. Where in the world is J.J. McCarthy now, the fifth best player in his draft? I would never, ever, I remember, don't say we all know about quarterbacks. Akili Smith, Andre Ware, Klinger, even Mayfield was the first pick. Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen. We go on and on and on, these teams who made these ridiculous decisions with these QBs. And now you're going to take J.J. McCarthy, who didn't throw a pass in the second half against Penn State. He was 7 of 8. didn't throw a pass. If you got a great quarterback who's the fifth pick in the draft, you got to let him throw the ball a little bit against Penn State. Good weather. Didn't throw a pass. And remember, that schedule was awful. That conference stunk. I don't care what they did against Nebraska. I don't care what they did against Purdue or Bowling Green or any of these Rutgers. I'm not interested. I'm going to look at the four or five games. He threw for 160 yards against Michigan. 160. He was not a big deal against Washington. He threw for 140 yards. They ran for 250. And he wasn't great against Washington. Yet Mel, who I love and knows more than me, but I know the guy, I saw the games. Mel loves him. Orlovsky wants to put him in the Hall of Fame. And now you, Mr. Riddick, love him. You're all nuts. He's not that good.
Riddick's floor is yours, my
man. Okay. Okay. I understand that the sample size is not as extensive as you want it to be. You wanted to see Michigan put the program on his back, but they didn't have to, right? They're just in the business of winning football games. Coach Harbaugh wasn't in the business of just trying to elevate one individual and try to prove the fact that he's a quarterback guru and that J.J. McCarthy was better than everyone else thought he was going to be. He was just in the business of winning games. But let's just look at, within that sample size, objectively what J.J. McCarthy was this year. Objectively. He was number 3 in total QBR. In FBS, number 3. He was number 1 in FBS in QBR on 3rd and 7+.
37?
3rd and 7+.
Okay.
He was number 1. He was number 3 in QBR outside of structure. He was top 10 in QBR inside of structure. He was top 10, top 15 in QBR under pressure. So in all of the situations that you want to see a quarterback perform at a high level against high-level competition, J.J. McCarthy did that. For every bad throw you pick out about J.J. McCarthy, I can pick out one that if his name was Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels, who I love, Jaden Daniels, number 1 quarterback in this draft, we would be sitting there going, that looks like the next Patrick Mahomes. That he has all of the traits and qualities from a makeup standpoint and a physical skills standpoint to perform at a top 10 level in the NFL. He has all of them. What he doesn't have, though, is the resume. What he doesn't have is repeated performances that would make you go, I don't feel that it's a big risk to go ahead and take him in the top 10. Mm-hmm. He is going to be a risk because you don't have those plays stacked upon one another. Well, like you have with a guy like Bo Nix, who's played for, 6 years in college football? You don't have that kind of resume. But I will tell you this. Supply never meets demand in the NFL when it comes to quarterbacks, and we know we elevate them.
Let me chime in here real quick as the least knowledgeable individual on college football. So I'm going to give it back to Mel in just a second. What I would say by watching J.J. McCarthy, I watched him against Ohio State. I watched a couple of games this year. I certainly was at the national championship game when they went up against Alabama. I enjoyed myself. It was beautiful weather in Pasadena that day, by the way. It was beautiful weather. The point that I want to make is this. I'm looking at J.J. McCarthy in between the hashes. We know that this brother can throw the football. He's done enough, and that they believe that is his strength. At 6'3", about 202 pounds, they believe that is his strength, okay? His weakness is what I'm focused on, which is what Doggy alluded to, okay? Outside of the numbers, what is it? On such pass attempts, he recorded a 27.1% uncatchable throwing rate, ranking 48 out of 105 eligible FBS quarterbacks. Mm. That concerns me because this is the National Football League. And if you can't throw outside the numbers, they're going to make it hell for you to try to throw inside the numbers because that's what they're going to do. They're going to play to your weaknesses and they're going to force you to do the kind of things that is not perceived as being your strength. When you combine that with the fact that it's in Washington, top 5 NFC East, top 5 pick, not Washington, Minnesota.
Minnesota,
I apologize.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
I'm looking at NFC North. I'm just thinking about it from that standpoint, Mel. I'm not sold on McCarthy going that high. That's just me. I know you said he's going to sit down and learn for a little bit, but I'm not sold on that pick at number 5.
Well, guys, I gave you the rationale for moving up. I'm kind of with Dog. Dog, it's a mock draft. It's not what my ratings are. So a mock draft is trying to figure out what teams are going to do. I have him at 14, so I'm kind of with you guys on that. He's at 14 on my big board. He was old school, though, guys. He was not throwing a ball 40, 50 times a game. Margin for error, a lot different, okay? So some of those throws, he was putting a bad spot on. He didn't have a dynamic Marvin Harrison type. He had Roman Wilson, good player, have him in the second round, right? But they didn't throw a pass, as you say, a Penn State game. Think about it, fourth quarter, 34 passes total thrown, only one touchdown. He didn't need to do that. And then you talked about the national title game. They didn't do this, didn't do that. When he had to, he did. And he made two great throws that were dropped, one by Johnson, one by the tight end, Loveland. So when he needed to beat him with his legs and keep that, extend that drive and get him out of the hole, he did with his legs. He's a great athlete. He's a Josh Allen competitor. There's a lot to like about J.J., but I'm with you. It's overdrafting of J.J. McCarthy in the top five. There's no doubt about it. In my mind, I am at 14. With that said, I can see why the Vikings, in a division with those quarterbacks I talked about, would make that move. I get it. Now, I am at 14, so it's a leap of faith on J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah. It's a valuation proposition is what this is, okay? So, look, you may value him 15 to 18, 20 to 28,
okay,
but you're not going to get him at that price. So it's whether or not – it's what are you willing to pay the price – for the future performance projection, and do you have confidence in your own structure, in your own organization, that you feel as though those seminal moments that he had that were upper echelon type of performances, type of throws, situational throws, can you get that to be the norm? Do you feel as though you have the structure to get that to be the norm? It is a much bigger projection than it would be, say, for Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams, who are back-to-back Heisman Trophy winners, or even for a guy like Drake May. Look, you're going to have to take a leap of faith with him, too.
Oh, absolutely.
But that is what this – that's what the draft is, and that's what quarterback projection always is. And a lot of it – a lot more of it's going to have to do with what you have to offer the player, even more so than what the player has to offer you. And I'm telling you this, if I'm Minnesota, based on what they already have in place – I think that is a perfect place for him to go. I think Minnesota is set up to go ahead and make a run in the North and challenge the upper echelon teams in that division, namely Detroit and Green Bay. I think they're right there. And so will Chicago be when Caleb goes in there. The North will be maybe the most exciting division in football next year because of the youth at the quarterback position and how all those teams are on the come up right now. I'm just telling you.
Now you went too far.
I'm telling you.
Now you went too far.
If you
have North is going to be the most exciting division. I mean, you're going too far with that, Lewis.
If you have Caleb Williams and you have Jordan Love and you were to have a guy like J.J. McCarthy in there.
And you have
Detroit, who is going to continue to go. Look, that division is fun now. That's a fun division to watch.
Chicago and Green Bay.
But it don't,
ain't nobody think about Chicago.
Look, I'm just telling you.
Not Chicago. I'm seeing Detroit and Green Bay. Ain't nobody thinking about Chicago and Minnesota now. I mean, ain't nobody even think about that.
Look, I'm always ahead of the game, Stephen A.
The NFC North is going to be a lot more exciting.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
But, you know,
he just likes the big blockbuster.
But look, the most exciting team in the NFL next year is going to be the Houston Texans. Let's just go ahead and just mark that down now.
Okay.
That team is coming.
You think we agree there?
Okay.
You have to agree.
We'll be back on here talking about it.
That's right. That's right. We would.
You think them getting Diggs is that much of a difference maker?
Absolutely. Why? Because of D'Amico and because of CJ. I think, Stephon, you will see the very best of him. I know you're looking at me like, oh, I'm going to write that
down. No, we talked about this.
You know, you're going to see the very best of him.
We can get into all that. We got Mel Kiper here. Why we got him here? Because Mel's a very, very busy man. Mel, right now, are we still convinced that Caleb Williams is going to be the number one overall pick or Jaden Daniels? I mean, can he creep into the number one slot? What are you hearing? What are your thoughts, rather?
Well, Ryan Poles was director of college scouting in Kansas City. They drafted Patrick Mahomes. Caleb Williams, when you gave away Justin Fields, one of the worst trades in NFL history, you just gave him, gifted him to the Steelers, you got to draft Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams was the number one guy by miles last year. He's the number one guy this year. Jaden Daniels was a fourth-round pick coming in this year, became the second pick overall. Great move by his mom, Regina, and Jaden to go back and play another year. I talked to him about it. Go back. Win those awards. And he did. He listened, and he learned, and he developed, and he became the second pick. Caleb's been that guy for a couple years now. Overthink it. You take Caleb Williams. If you have Romo Dunze there at nine, you take him. If he's not, you maybe trade back off a nine and try to recoup that second-round pick that you lost in that trade for Montez Sweat, which turned out to be a heck of a deal, but you want to recoup that too if you can. But if Odunze is there, you take him. If he's gone, you maybe trade down.
Mel, let me ask you something. How big of a gap do you think that, in your mind, do you feel that there is between Caleb and Jaden? Because to me, just listening to you sound like right now, you feel as though it sounds like you think there's a significant gap between the two. Am I reading that wrong? Just how you feel about it.
They're not really reading it wrong. It's reconciling the fourth round to the second pick. And I love Jaden. I love what he did, what he accomplished. He did kind of what Joe Burrow did at LSU in year two. So you want to move him up, and I did. I got him right there. He's the second highest rated player on the board. But I'm loyal, Lou, to Caleb Williams and what he was in 2022. People started to knock him, which they always do. The longer you play, the more they knock you. He had a horrible offensive line, and he didn't have Jordan Addison.
True.
So, again, Caleb Williams, after that, no Notre Dame game did have some struggles. But Jaden was phenomenal. Got from fourth round to the second pick in the draft. That's as much of a leap as you'll ever see. But I still have a gap between I wouldn't say it's a huge gap, Lou, to answer your question, but it's a slight gap, but still between Caleb and Jaden.
I like that comparison you made with Joe Burrow, because I think there's a lot of people who probably would go back and look at that evaluation and look at that jump and say, hey, look, you shouldn't hold that against quarterbacks.
Yep.
Because that's what the game is about. It's about progressing. It's about development. And you know what? Look, if Cincinnati Bengals, look, obviously they had no reservations at all taking him number one overall. And I think Joe Burrow right now, a healthy Joe Burrow, there was a time before this year that people said, other than 15 for Kansas City, who would you want? Joe Burrow would have been the consensus next pick.
I agree. Second best in the
league. That's right.
All right. We got to leave it there. We're up against it. The draft less than 3 weeks away. Mel and Lewis will be all over it. Thank you both for being with us. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Five-time Masters champion Tiger Woods gearing up for his tee tomorrow as he looks to make history, setting a Masters record by making the cut for the 24th consecutive time. This is despite Tiger playing only 24 holes of golf in PGA Tour events this season. But the 15-time major champion still feeling pretty confident. Take a listen.
What do you feel like you're capable of doing this week? What do you believe that you can do this week?
If everything comes together, I think I can get one more. Want me to describe that any more than that, or we're good?
Oh, there it is, Joe. How are we feeling, buddy?
We're doing good. Not as good as you with that UConn win, but we're feeling good. I see everybody's moving today. I didn't get the message. I was supposed to wear white, but that's okay. We'll keep it cooking.
Well, neither did Doggy, but Doggy, it doesn't matter with Doggy because he wouldn't pay attention to the message anyway.
I sure wouldn't.
That's not what he would do. You see what I'm saying? That's not what he would do, but the standard.
Joe, big cleanup by me 2 years in a row. I just want you to know that. Yep.
Very easy, Molly.
You see how it is. All right, let's get into it. Okay, looking at the rest of the Masters field, what's your best bet?
All right, turn the music down. Get off my lawn. It's going to be the old guy yelling from the clouds. I'm going to bet Tiger Woods to go ahead and miss the cut here. I know a lot of people aren't going to want to get behind that. Not about emotion. It's about money. That's what we talk about time and time again. This guy has played six times since 2022. Six times. Three withdrawals. One missed cut. The other two, he didn't finish in the top 40. It's a low ceiling. Low ceiling. Keep in mind, in 2020, they changed the cut rules here. Top 50 plus ties and anyone within 10 strokes of the lead. They got rid of that last part, so it's harder to make the cut. Last year, barely got by. Barely. And keep in mind, thunderstorms in the forecast Thursday morning. Now, he tees off after 1 o'clock, but if the whole thing starts late and everyone gets pushed back, he might have to play a lot of golf on Friday. I don't know if that body holds up. I'm saying he misses the cut.
That's it. He brought up inclement weather. I got to go with Joe on this one. I was going to go against you until you brought up inclement weather. We understand physically. To me, I was going to say he'll make the cut. But when you bring up inclement weather and how he's going to have to play additionally more golf, I don't think his body could hold up. That's my issue with him. I don't think his body could hold up.
That's a great job, Joe. You were superb at that. I happen to agree with you. And the weather would make me nervous. He might have to go out there and play 28 to 30 holes on Friday.
Right.
And that's asking too much. So I think Joe hit it right on the nugget. And you hate to do it because everybody wants to see Tiger play over the weekend. But I think Joe's running the bucket.
Can you play golf?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Can you play?
Did you know that I'm going to the Masters on Friday?
I did not know that.
Really?
Of course he is.
Free?
So fitting.
Are you treating yourself or are they sending you for work?
Myself and my lovely wife.
Wow, you're paying too.
I am paying.
Okay. That's the only way you're getting in there is by bringing your lovely wife, because they're not going to let you bring down the status level of that place.
Good point, Joe.
All right, guys. Looking at the rest of the Masters field, what's your best bet, Joe?
Four-round matchup play. Whoever's better between two golfers after four rounds, we're going to go John Rahm over Rory McIlroy. All right, John Rahm's minus 110. McIlroy is minus 115. They should flip that. They got the wrong guy favored. Rahm won it last year. He's lights out on this course. Top 10, five of the last 6 years. Rory's in his head every time he comes to the Masters. He's missed the cut two of the last 3 years. He's trying too hard to win the event. He's got to go zen. He's got to clear his mind that he can't do it. Even when he plays well, he starts slow and then he storms up late and then everyone says, hey, top five from Rory, he was there. He was never there. He just kind of closed late and made it look good. So I'm taking Rahm over Rory in this one.
Very difficult to go back to back, so I won't take Rahm. I'm going to take a run here, Joe, at Cameron Smith. What's the odds for him? He's due to play well in this event.
He's coming on. I don't think he's in the top, he's not in that top group. But if you want to take a shot there, that's a guy with a good price.
That's what I'll take a shot at.
Okay, Joe, sorry, we're up against it today. I feel bad rushing you. From the grass to the court, a huge showdown tonight on ESPN. The top two teams in the West face off. The T-Wolves and the Nuggets, what is the play in this one?
I'm going to take Minnesota plus the points. It's as high as 6 at some shops. We have 5.5. There's no rest advantage here. Both teams played last night outside of Denver, so both had to fly in. They're tied atop the Western Conference, so the motivation's there. Minnesota's one of the best road teams in the NBA this season. Number 2 in defensive efficiency on the road. Number 3 in net rating on the road. 26 road wins. That's number 2 to the Boston Celtics. 22-18 against the spread on the road. Jamal Murray just played last night in Utah. We're not sure if he's going to play tonight. If he's ruled out, this line's going to move. I want to jump on Minnesota here. Denver should be favored, but I think it's a very competitive game. I like the Timberwolves.
I'm going to flow with Joe on this because both teams played outside of Denver last night, having to fly in, and Denver is not the same team without Jamal Murray than they are with him and Jokic together. If there was a game that they could be had, I think this is the kind of game they could be had. Minnesota, I'm going to roll with them.
I think that's a good pick, too. But Murray played last night. Why would they play him last night in Utah if he doesn't want to play tonight?
Well, I'm just saying, the back-to-back to protect him.
Why would you just hold him for the Minnesota game and not play him against Utah because if you're worried about back-to-back?
That's fair.
You guys do this at the commercial break. I,